Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, it's Monday night, and that means it's time for the Constitution Hour. I'll be your host, Ron Golden, and the Constitution Hour is brought to you by PatriotFamilies.com. That's PatriotFamilies with a YS.com. I don't know what happened to my intro there. I was cutting it a little close. I want to welcome our guest in, and Miss Linda Sills, Mr. Rod Luke. And I know Mr. Bill Strong will be along shortly, and some of the other members there, Mr. Lonnie and Chad. Kind of an interesting close to the week. Very interesting things going on. Of course, now it's been made semi-official that everyone on board the Flight 370 that everyone's so tired of hearing about is evidently dead in the Indian Ocean somewhere, even though they, as of yet, haven't found a plane or any debris that resembles the plane. God only knows what really happened to those poor people and that aircraft. We can pray for the folks that were on the plane. And if I clear my throat a lot tonight, pardon me, there is a lot of pollen in the air. We haven't gotten to the point where everything is blanketed in a nice greenish-yellow blanket, but that is dead ahead if we can stave off all the global warming slash climate change cold temperatures long enough to allow all the other plants to begin blooming. And let's go back and see if we can get this intro going. I don't know what in the heck is going on with this thing. It's just playing away in the studio, but it won't play there. We finally got it to behave itself. Was going to play a little bit of The Grand Illusion by Styx, because it certainly appears that's what we're living under these days, a grand illusion. I see that Michelle O and company is vacationing yet again, this time in, of all places, China. Took the girls up to the Great Wall. Isn't it wonderful that in the midst of all this turmoil and tension that our president's family is able to enjoy a nice vacation to China? Perhaps they are speaking with the new landlord. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. There is a lot of turmoil afoot in the financial markets. We've seen the stock market sliding a bit as of late, as has precious metals, and also crude oil prices. And isn't that interesting that we have all of this price turmoil going on while we have a currency crisis or currency war going on? I saw today that the G7 met. Normally that would be the G8, but evidently since Vlad the Impaler is off in his Ukrainian adventure, it is now the G7 instead of the G8. And I did also read a little blurb that other members of the G20 voiced their dissent on the G7 summit and the sanctions against the Vlad the Impaler. And of course, that would have been, Brazil, Indonesia, China, South Africa. Oh, that's right, those BRICS nations that we've talked about. So we see that the BRICS nations are coming out against any sanctions or any military force. What a surprise. So we're setting the stage if you've been paying attention. We have talked about this previously. The stage is being set for the need for a change in global monetary policy, and I believe a resetting of the balance of debt amongst nations, not amongst you and I. Of course, our debts will remain valid. There's been a lot of things going on. I see that Russia told the Ukraine that they're going to have to increase their natural gas prices by 40%. It sounds like they're taking a page out of Obama's playbook on that one. Just more fun and games. And, of course, the leaders, the officials, the heads of state, whatever you want to call these scumbags, they're never the ones that suffer. It's always the peons, the resources, the human resources, the chattel, the cattle, if you will. It's you and I and our counterparts in these other countries, whether it be Crimea, the Ukraine. I see that Taiwan is making noise again. I see that the Venetians are declaring their independence from Rome, and they will no longer send their taxes to Rome. How awesome is that? Now there, ladies and gentlemen, is a page out of someone's playbook that the Americans ought to be taking. You know, if the state of Georgia, where I'm currently domiciled, or your state, as Miss Linda, the state of California, not that California would ever go against the federal government, but if the individual states would begin to refuse to remit payment to the federal government, then we would really see a bit of a crisis here in the U.S. of A. But for now, we remain in a contrived little game that's being played, in my humble opinion. Of course, unemployment is at an all-time low now under Obama. It's really dropping like a rock. And I don't know if that's because people are just starving to death and no longer able to go look for work, or if they're just giving up entirely. You know, we always have very unique and incredible methods of counting unemployment numbers and so on. I mean, I don't know about where you're at, but here the economy is just booming. I mean, everybody is fully employed. We don't have unemployment. No, I'm just kidding. A little satire, a little sarcasm. I want to go back to a book that I recommended my listeners read quite some time ago. And the title of the book is The Sovereign Individual by Lord Rees-Mogg and William Davidson, I believe it was. I could have his name. It may have been David Williamson. I don't have it in front of me. The book was written in 1996. One of the things that these two gentlemen predicted we would see in the future would be the destruction, the crumbling, the falling apart of the central nation state and a reversion to local control, even to the point, possibly, of local control at the neighborhood level. Admittedly, we're nowhere near that today. But when we look around and see all the various pleas, cries, and demands for liberty, for separation, secession, if you will, my God, even some of the Scottish folks out there on the little island are decrying their own sovereignty. It seems to be a catchy theme of late. Various locations wanting to declare their sovereignty and get out from under the rule, the thumb, if you will, of Big Brother, whether it's in Scotland or Venice and Rome, Italy, Ukraine, the Baltic states. Venezuela's in turmoil. There's a lot of things going on in this world today. Not that it hasn't occurred before. And, you know, we've had that conversation that there's really no new territory to conquer, but there are new ways of conquering territory. So I just find it all very fascinating to watch all of this play out. And I also find it very unfortunate that the peons, the people that are the backbone of these systems that they erect, we're the ones that suffer. We're the ones that fight and die in the wars. We're the ones that are unemployed and left homeless. We're the ones that are thrown in jail when we don't fess up to the massa and pay him his share. Oh, but look at all the benefits that we receive, you see. Every one of us receives all these amazing benefits from the government. And you see, that's why everyone has to pay their fair share, right? Isn't that what we're told? But more and more it seems that some people's share is more fair than others. So just an interesting rant, I guess, from me. I do apologize that I don't have anything better prepared. I have been so obsessed of late with my acquisition of new squirt guns that I've been somewhat distracted, and so I do apologize for that. You know, we've got more and more coming out every day about Common Core. We did have a small victory here in the state of Georgia, although at last check, the governor has not signed it, and I suspect that he will not sign it. I suspect what's going to happen is that the governor will just let the new law languish on his desk unsigned, and after a specified amount of time, I believe it's 2 weeks, it will automatically become law, and then he can claim that he didn't sign it. But anyway, the new law will allow Georgia hunters to use suppressors or silencers for hunting, which I think is a great idea. It's much quieter. It doesn't disturb the neighbors and the folks as much. It's more friendly on their ears. But they'll still have to get the tax stamp and special permission to have a device on their firearm. Yes, Miss Linda, I saw that the UK, in a sick and twisted variation of Soylent Green, is using aborted babies as fuel for incinerators. And Bill, I am very glad to see that Indiana withdrew from Common Core. You know, the more I see out of Indiana, the more I wish I was a Hoosier, quite honestly. But I'm still suspect of Indiana because they are right next to Illinois. And having been born and raised in that area, I'm still a little suspect of the folks that live around there. Not necessarily the whole state of Illinois, mind you, but that northernmost little armpit section on the Great Lakes that's called Chicago. They like to think they are their own state, kind of like New York City and the state of New York. You know, there's Chicago and then there's Illinois. So if any of you have anything on your minds that you want to call in and talk about, Common Core, the airplane, the economy, the world crumbling around us, Margaret Sanger Award for the Yeah, for Miss Pelosi. Somebody posted a picture on our gun forum that I'm on of Dianne Feinstein holding an AK-47. That was absolutely hysterical. And, of course, she had her finger on the trigger, which anyone who knows anything about firearms knows you don't put your finger on the trigger unless you're ready to pull it. And that means that you're aiming it at someone or something and intending to shoot it. But we did have a group on Facebook here in Georgia that was very active in rallying and lobbying against any kind of positive gun bill here in Georgia. And they got a little upset when some of the guys from our gun forum found their Facebook page and began challenging them in their ideology and also posting some nice gun pictures on their website or their Facebook page. That kind of ruffled a few feathers. It sounds like we've got Miss Linda from California. How are you, Miss Linda?
Hanging in there. It's been kind of a funky day. This is the first all gray day we've had for a while. But it takes me so many hours to go through to look at all the news events and everything that gets sent to me. I don't even have to search for it. It just winds up in Facebook and the inbox. And I saw the one about Pelosi getting the Margaret. There was I'm not kidding. This article was huge. It actually had several quotes about what Margaret had said in speeches in different periods of her, you know, reign of whatever, being a Fabian socialist eugenicist, B-I-T-C-H. But, she was, right up there with Mengele, Hitler, and a few others. I'm not kidding. Just absolute racism. Thought she was, you know, doing everybody a favor, and total utopian nonsense, same old going to perfect humanity, that they've been trying to block things of Plato.
It's just nauseating to see.
I know. And then none other than this dingbat, complete mental retard who needs to be in a rubber room, Pelosi, who claims to be a Catholic, and talk about women's rights. It's almost laughable if it wasn't so upside down. And you know, I can't, like my neighbor says, I said, I feel like I'm down the rabbit hole and I can't even see Alice anymore. It's like that bad.
One of the things that strikes me from the bourgeois class, I guess, and I hate to use a Marxist term, but I don't know what else to call them. I don't want to do the left-right thing, but there is this group of idiots out there that pass themselves off as living, breathing human beings. And they seem to have this propensity, this penchant, for imbuing other people with rights, but it always seems that when they want to embody someone with a right, it's either intrusive or, it's just an offensive thing, and it's not really a right. You know what I mean? Like the right to abortion.
These are like that's mimicking or mirroring FDR's Second Bill of Rights. And I'm sure there were many. And I think a lot of this, if I go back and read properly, that a lot of this started before FDR was seated, because Woodrow Wilson and Mandel House had their little, you know, tete-a-tetes and talking about this nonsense. So a lot of this nonsense started, and that was the Fabian Socialist era, that was the Margaret Sanger era, that was the Federal Reserve, that was all this stuff hitting us like a ton of bricks, mostly coming from Europe. And we've been fighting this. We had a Revolutionary War over this nonsense.
It's just insanity. And you know, the same people will just absolutely blow a gasket, flip a lid, jump around, and roll in their grave about, he ran a red light. You know, I was talking with someone in the forum, and one of our members had made a right turn on a red light, or presumably that's what he was ticketed for. And I posted in, and I, you know, because somebody said, well, should the police not enforce traffic laws? And I said, well, nope. So was anybody, were there any injuries? Was there someone harmed? No. Well, you know, I understand we have to have some rules, traffic laws or regulations.
For no harm, no foul.
Right. No harm, no foul.
They take it to such extremes.
But we don't mind if we murder a baby. That's okay because, it's a woman's right to choose kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, and I understand these are completely polar opposite ends of the spectrum. But it's, again, what you just said, common sense. There has to be some common sense to it. And so often when people want to apply a right to someone, say, well, I've got a right to do that, or it's their right, they have a right to this, and never stopping for a moment to recognize that in order to enforce that action as a right, you have to deny or burden someone else. In the case of abortion, you're burdening the life of a living human being, a child.
Right.
You know, they want to call it a fetus, but I'm sorry.
Yeah, but see, go back to that story with the UK, and we go back a couple of years, and all of the things that were coming out of the mouths of these people in the UK on abortion, and these are just a few cells, and it, you know, the same type of rhetoric that Margaret Sanger would have said, you know, that would be the humane thing to do to kill the baby. I mean, after it's born, I mean, we're talking these people. And then when you look at the incineration of the fetuses in this, what they call green, you know, heating element, I mean, we're talking Mengele territory here. Good Lord.
And the thing is, I mean, at that point, and I'll probably get in trouble for this, but at the point of incinerating them, I mean, the deed's already been done. Clearly, you know, if you're going to kill an unborn baby, you know, what you do with the corpse after the fact is kind of secondary. I mean, if you're not going to show any value on human life while it's still living, I mean, you know, what the heck? After you've already murdered it, well, you know,
We could take that to the same level that Hitler did, because what he did with the incineration of the corpses after he used Cyclone B on them, okay? So if you're using a dilation and curettage to scrape it out and then you decide to incinerate it, oh, well, you just didn't use Cyclone B. Hello. I don't see any difference.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't gas the mother, just the baby, you know? I mean,
you
only got half of it, so, I mean, you're not totally bad.
God.
How do you rationalize? And that's the thing. That's really, for me, the thing that people rationalize this kind of behavior. And what it comes down to is dehumanizing humanity.
And desensitizing. We've been desensitizing with the culture.
We're diminishing. We are absolutely diminishing what it means to be human.
Right.
And I see this, you know, I saw a preview for a new movie that's come out called Transcendence. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh, I saw that preview also. Yeah. Was that the one with Johnny Depp?
I'm not sure who was in it. I just saw the precept of it, you know, the concept. And that is that this guy is just this genius and you know, really in love with himself, and he's dying, and they download his mind into a computer, and he transcends humanity. And that's, honest to goodness, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, I don't know if you've read your Bible, if you've picked it up and thumbed through the pages. If you just look at that first chapter, Genesis, and what the original sin was, what the lie was, is you surely won't die. you will be like
right,
God and live forever. Well that's,
this is, yeah, this is the same this is the same Philosopher King stuff that's been going on since Babylon or before.
It's not new. That's the point. You're absolutely
right. But
the
problem is what I'm seeing, when you look at the singularity and you look where technology could be 10 to 20 years from now, that's not that far-fetched. And that's when I think the second coming is happening. When they get to that level, Ron, I don't think he's going to deal with it.
Linda,
anymore.
I don't think it's 20 years away. I'm here to tell you right now that they're, I mean, maybe five.
Yeah, oh, really? Oh, God.
Oh, I think, you know, from what I've read, you know, and they've been working diligently on life extension technology. And, you know, the computer technology, it's in many respects, it's awe-inspiring. It is profound. Mm-hmm. But I think at the same time, we're creating this disconnect
with what
it is to be human.
Well, yeah, exactly, and I know that Glenn has asked this question of many of these people who study this stuff and are actually knee-deep in it. Just because we can do something, should we? That should be a moral question.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah.
Well, you go back to the nuclear testing, you know, when we were first testing the first atom bomb, you know, and they're like, there was a question. There was a concern mathematically that it could ignite the hydrogen in the atmosphere and we'd all be toast.
Sure.
And
pressed
the button anyway. I mean, you know, so again.
I know.
It's nothing new. We've just,
we just keep
taken
repeating
it to a new level.
BS. Oh, I know. It's funny because when you talk about dehumanizing people, I'm working on a piece to go forth in front of city councils, et cetera, and all these vision meetings. And I've pulled out the old, almost two pages printed of James Madison's thoughts on private property. And there's some really great stuff, one-liners in there, and I'm going to highlight those. And, you know, he pretty much nailed it, that is the right to life. It's almost redundant to say life, liberty, and property, because you are property. You're your own. You're your own intellect. You're your faculties. You're everything. Your spirit, all of it. I mean, it's like he was adamant about that being protected, and that is a God-given, you know, tied right in there with the we hold these truths, you know. And so, you know, because I want to show people you know, that what these people are trying to say to you, especially when they're pushing and nudging and then later on shoving, you know, you into their little mold that they want you, especially with Agenda 21, that they have absolutely no room for private property rights in their world. And that's why I'm studying all these things. So do a little bit more on my show, but it's, you know, as it comes along. And it's right. I mean, that's why I was so happy to hear the sermon this Sunday in church talking about, you know, Christ's view of us and that we are spirit beings as he made us in his image. And it was real. There was a whole bunch more good stuff. But, you know, it's inspiring. And I'm trying to see the truth and understand what God wants from us and what he wants from me. And try to, I pray for discernment every day because I just, you know, like you, it's like you can't believe these people anymore. Can't believe
well,
anyone. Can't trust them for sure.
And, you know, it seems to me when you look at it, there's a lot of things. And these are just ramblings that go on in the mind of a crazy man like myself. But, you know, we look at the Philosopher Kings and that concept. You look at the concept of the monarchy and the divine right of kings along the same lines, right? And don't we also buy into that? I mean, there's all these stories and ideas about the Nephilim or the Anunnaki or whatever you want to call them, that there's a separate race of beings in the world that are different than 90% of us, 99% of us. And you almost kind of get that impression in Genesis as well, that, you know, here's Adam and Eve, and then there's this other guy, you know, the serpent dude. And,
right.
You know, so there's a lot of there's a lot of innuendo that can be drawn from that, that there is this separate class. And the Bible does say that Satan is the prince of the air, and that we battle, you know, powers and principalities, not flesh and blood. So we shouldn't really be fighting one another in the flesh. It also tells us to die to self, to die to the flesh, and to be more like God. So it's almost to be as God, but I know the scripture doesn't say to try and be God. But I understand where these concepts all kind of muddle together.
Come from, right.
And, you know, this whole transcendence thing is becoming more spirit than human. So it's all very, to me, very interesting and fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of different angles that you can look at it from. But I think from just a straight human perspective, it's just wrong. What they're doing is wrong.
Yeah, I agree.
Incinerating aborted fetuses for, you know, for recycling purposes, it's wrong.
It's I mean, when
it's
you
just
go,
wrong.
I know, because when you're looking at things that is an affront to God, they're always wrong. It doesn't matter what day it is, what year, what century. Because you're looking at, if I'm looking at it correctly, from Genesis up till now, I mean, that's a lot of years, okay? That's a lot of, you know, coming out of the cave era, whatever, to what we've got today, and we're still flesh and blood. We still, you know, God has still created us the way he wanted us to be, in the flesh, for this purpose, whatever that purpose is for each person. And that hasn't changed. Our nature hasn't changed. And I don't think that part in our minds, our finite minds, is ever going to change. I don't care if you're Einstein or not. So these people can play these games all they want. He's not going to be happy with, you know, their little meddling. So that's my opinion. I think he will deal with them appropriately. So
yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree wholeheartedly.
I don't think he's going to be happy. And he has not abdicated that mercy throne, so no.
No, and, you know, I've said before, and I find myself doing it at times. I get aggravated or angry, as I do like to debate once in a while. But God doesn't need me to defend him.
That's true.
He doesn't need me to defend him. I will defend his word, you know, but I'm not naive enough to think that, gee, you know, I'm defending God. No, I'll stand on my convictions.
Right. Sure. Well, the other people, like, you know, if you were ever in a forum with the far left, and I'm talking about the Jarretts and the Soros and the Buffetts and the Barrys, you know, that kind of, I mean, I know they're flesh and blood, and I know that, you know, the thing is that they have been so, I think, thoroughly influenced by the dark side that, you know, it really does rub off on them in certain, I mean, I know they're not shapeshifters, I know they're not superhuman or anything like that, but I can't agree with their principles and their Stalin-like thinking. I just can't, or Matt or anybody, any of the other of them. I have to go against it.
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
The freedom.
I don't know if they're shape-shifting reptilians or not, and quite honestly, I don't care. I know there's a lot of that going around out there. You know, I'm just not going to waste a lot of my time trying to determine things that I have no control over anyway, and I really just don't care about. I just don't care. There are things that are real, that are tangible, that I can touch, feel, and see.
Sure.
And that's enough to keep me busy trying to make sense out of that, you know, and try to make sense out of this crazy life that we're in right now.
I know.
You know, to go chasing these fairy tales and aliens and all this other, you know, more power to them. I don't think they're ever going to find any alien life unless you count us right here on this planet. We are the alien
right.
life. I mean, seriously. You know, all with all the exploration and technology and everything else, nothing. Nada. And the law of averages, you would think, you know, if everything
sure.
was just this random chance like all these bozos want you to believe, and that man just crawled as a single-celled organism out of the primordial ooze after it was struck by lightning or whatever else, you know, that created life out of just inorganic material, you would think that those
Darwin.
Conditions, yeah, those conditions would have been present somewhere else in the billions of galaxies,
uh-huh.
and nada, we got nothing.
Yeah,
other
you
than
know,
some guy from, you know, some Greek dude with the crazy hair, and I love to watch those guys because they get so worked up and they're so convicted. And, hey, you know, maybe they're right. I don't know. I don't think they are. I think they're about half nuts, but that's okay.
Yeah.
At least
yeah.
they believe in something, and they're not out trying to, you know, persecute everybody else in the world and put them under their thumb.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I'm, you know, dealing with my studies and what I'm trying to make sense of it all, especially when I look at the founding principles of our Constitution and why they did what they did and all these things because of the liberty, you know, this is where you kind of have to figure out when someone's going off the rails, like you said, if it's going to impair someone else's freedom to the point, you know, that you're literally stomping on their natural God-given rights, you know, you're not doing the right thing. So this is what the encroachment, in my estimation, from the left is, where they want to literally corral you like sheep and put you under their thumb. And, you know, I mean, they're going to have you, and they've done it already with the toilets. They got the light bulb thing going. I mean, it's beyond. And they want to have everybody in those ridiculous automobiles that look like a pregnant roller skate or something that wouldn't get you very far anyway. But, well, it's true. So,
well, you know,
honestly,
yeah, for my part, it doesn't, you know, it really doesn't require knowledge of the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence or anything other than self-awareness and
right.
those self-evident truths that, you know, Jefferson outlined in the Declaration.
Mm-hmm.
So for
mm-hmm.
me, it's really quite simple. You got to ask the question,
mm-hmm.
who is it that granted this authority for you, Linda, to put me in jail, persecute me, or do anything else to me if I refuse to give you part of my paycheck? Who gave you permission to do that? Where does this authority come from?
Exactly. That's the question, yeah.
Right. Well, it was voted for. Okay, and who in the hell gave the voters that authority? I'm sorry. Is there something
yeah.
that happened? You know, was I born into servitude and I didn't know it? Evidently, that's the case.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to me, that's just the long and the short of it. It's really pretty damn fundamental and simple. Right. Where do you get the authority from? Where does that authority stem from?
You know, there was the one guy, I think it was a 12 to 15 minute rant, and he pretty much stepped over the line into sedition, and he's probably going to get himself arrested, but he was ticked off and he was speaking in front of some people in Connecticut about, you know, civil disobedience, and he was sorry, you know, but again, he crossed the line when he said he was going to smuggle guns, and he's already done so, and you know, I think he's asking for it. But some of the things he said were actually correct, that they, you know, that many of the laws are unconstitutional and that they're not valid. They just aren't.
I didn't hear the guy you're talking about, but I think he's got the right of free speech on his side.
Yes.
And he can say whatever the hell he wants as long as he's not threatening, you know, murder or bodily harm on someone. And if he hasn't actually done what he's saying he's done, okay, so he's a liar, but okay. But, I mean, other than that, he really hasn't done anything wrong. And
yeah,
probably
they can prove it.
Right, well, and probably he's just doing it to, you know, really tick them off and
get under their skin. That's what I thought, too. You know, I mean, whatever, that's, you know, his way of dealing with it. I mean, I know that there's a lot of folks who are doing pretty much that, but they're just not, you know, broadcasting it to anybody.
Well,
which is kind of cool. And that's what happened during Prohibition. I mean, my God, there was not one part of that law that they didn't break.
Well, and how many people, and here's the thing, how many people died? How many people did the government kill with its decree? And from whence does it get its authority to do these things?
That's
the problem. How?
Exactly. And there's, it appears that there's this, you know, magical coming from on high, you know, that these people, or they don't care. I mean, they just want to wield their power. Hell, it's been done throughout history. Those books I do have, you know, that's what they're trying to do here. They're trying to, we have like a quasi republic left that I call it the, you know, you've got the corporate fascism and you got these little oligarchs up there acting like little petty dictators or a banana republic and wielding their nonsense over us. And we go out and vote and think we make a difference. It's very sad. They don't have the authority. And like I said, some of them just don't care. They'd much rather have a dictatorship, especially the ones on the left. And every time the Democrats open their mouths, they leave no doubt.
Well, you know, and Rod Luke makes a perfect point in the chat room. He said, from us, if we don't object, that's where they get the authority. And it is called in the law a tacit admission or tacit acceptance when you don't outright say something, but you go along anyway, then you agree with it. But then, they're going to point to the, well, we've got the Constitution. Well, and, you know, hence the name of the show. It's the Constitution Hour. And I think the Constitution was a great document, but at the same time, you cannot rationalize creating a national or a federal government and granting it the authority to take from people against their will. You do not have the authority.
Right. No matter how you spin it, I know.
Oh,
and they're doing it.
But it's the law. It's written down in ink and, you know, iron and gall on a piece of hemp paper, and so you have to obey it because it's law. See, it's right here. That's just baloney.
I know.
And that's where I get so irritated, you know, when we talk about the difference between running a traffic light and aborting a human baby. They seem to be so apparently at opposite ends of the spectrum, but the fact of the matter is that they're both the same in that it requires an inherent authority on either one of those things. Now, who granted you the authority to say it's okay to murder an unborn baby? Who granted you the authority to dictate to me how I travel? I mean, you know, you cannot give a person permission to murder an unborn child. You don't have that authority. You can't give a person permission to murder someone. You don't have that authority.
Precisely. Even though it's this written on the ink on the paper with the Roe v. Wade, it's like, it doesn't matter. It's still wrong.
Yes, that ink doesn't mean anything. It doesn't change the common sense reality. Of what you're trying to justify, you know? That's what these, they try to justify it as if writing it down and getting 500 other people to agree with it somehow makes it okay.
Oh, I know. Well, what they're doing is they're just rewriting whatever they want, making the world, you know, making the world in, closer to their own idea of the way it should be. And there's no ink on the tablets. That's kind of the finger of God. So they can't, you can't erase it. You can't white it out. Those, they're there for a reason, and they were not suggestions. So thou shalt not murder is one of them.
Yeah. Making a thing law, calling it law, mm-hmm. does not change the nature of the act. It just doesn't.
Well, of course not.
And
you
that's
could,
why
like
I've you know,
yeah,
there's a difference between something that's legal and something that's lawful.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's lawful is permissible in the eyes of God. It
mm-hmm.
does not transgress or trespass against your fellow man. That's lawful. Something that's legal doesn't have anything to do with either of those other two things. It can be a trespass on the person. It can violate
mm-hmm.
God's word. Doesn't matter. It's okay because we wrote it on a piece of paper. We got 535 people to vote for it. The president signed it. And by God, it's legal.
Mm.
And I'm sorry. I just have a problem with that. And, you know, even if we had 535 saints, I'd have a problem with it. And we have nowhere near that, I can assure you. I don't believe we've got one saint up there.
No.
Much less
that pretends to be.
500,
yeah,
right. No, and if we did have one that pretended to be, you know, they're definitely suspect. kind of like Hillary when she starts trying to quote scripture.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Well, she's, when I was on our way to church, my friend Ken has pretty good printer, and he got color stuff, and he said to make sure I could print out some stuff, or he would print stuff out for me, because I said, I need a photograph of Hillary Clinton so that I can make a sign, a big poster sign like you do at the rallies. And I was going to make one because we're protesting. I think she's speaking at the San Diego Convention Center on April 11th, and it's in the morning or something, and I need to pull that up again and figure it out. But I definitely want to go, and I was going to, you know, put blood on it and all the whole nine yards just to pick
what
some
you
people
need to
off
do,
and remind them what.
What I would do is I would go into that, and I think I sent you a link to that video about
okay.
the Clinton years and all the people that died that were associated with the Clintons and his time
oh,
as
yeah.
governor. And
mm-hmm.
I would get a sign, and you're going to need more than one. You're going to need three or four
yeah.
people to help. And
right.
I would put their names
mm-hmm.
on a sign. Just start
oh,
listing
yeah.
them and hold
yeah.
them up and say how
yeah.
many more have to die.
Starting with the ambassador and the three
the
other
guys
gentlemen.
In Benghazi, you bet. You
yep.
betcha.
In fact,
because that woman, if she ever had any, you know, spiritualness in her at all, her ambition has far outstripped that. There is a list of people as long
oh
as
my
body that have died.
Right.
As a direct
sure.
result of their involvement with the Clintons. And I'm not talking about, you know, people that just had, you know, a heart attack because they attended too many
yeah.
White House dinner parties. We're talking about people that were murdered, that had
yep.
unfortunate accidents, all connected
oh,
to
sure.
the Clintons.
Yeah. Well, and, this administration has its fair share. In fact, my friend also from church, she had sent me through email or the Facebook, and she showed the Chinook helicopter, and she was talking about Extortion 17, and I said, I wrote back to her, and I said, I have my own theory on this. I saw the original three-hour press conference, and I said there was not only the parents of those people that were murdered on that Chinook, but there was a lot of good people that were there. Alan West was there. I know you don't like him, but Michelle Bachmann, Louis Gohmert, and just tons of people, reporters, all these others, listening to these parents talking about it, actually speaking that much, it's probably for the first time in that type of a forum.
I don't dislike Alan West. I disagree with his policy, and I think that Alan suffers from some of the same shortcomings that your friend Ken suffers from. And that is simply that he his entire life has been inside that box.
Right.
It's what he knows. I'm not trying to fault him for a minute.
Right.
But the fact that West voted for that NDAA and a couple of other things, I understand why he did it. I understand the mentality that pushed him to that. But it is also that mentality that would keep me from ever voting for him and hope to God that he's never elected president.
Right.
You know, now it could be, and I'm sure it is, that Mr. West and Mr. Ken are privileged to know a lot of information that I don't know.
Sure.
But I also think that a lot of the information that they know, they know second, third, fourth hand.
Right.
And it's come from within an intelligence agency apparatus, like the Central Intelligence Agency, like the FBI, and it is well documented without a doubt that there are elements within those agencies that are corrupt, and they do not have the best interest of our country as a nation, they do not have the best interest of the American people as a whole at the center of their being and their existence and what they do. And I think that's been well established when we look at the inconsistencies and the involvement of high-level people within our State Department, within our Pentagon, within our intelligence agencies, and their involvement with the funding and the terrorist networks surrounding 9/11.
Sure.
I just, again, this isn't a, you know, George Bush and Dick Cheney used a laser beam technology weapon, a particle beam weapon or something, and the government blew up the towers or something. No, it's much more mundane than that, and it is the fact that it's an established fact that members within our government were instrumental in funding the 19 hijackers that are alleged to have pulled off the 9/11 hijackings. And that's never been made public. There's never been any accountability for any of these people. Many of them were promoted. And it makes me furious as an American, as a former member of the United States Army, someone who went into military service believing it was my obligation and a debt that I owed my country. And it's an affront to every individual that has ever worn a uniform for this country. And until that's addressed, our government is a joke, an absolute joke. And, you know, to all the folks that roll their eyes and say that, you know, all these people out there, 9/11 truther or birther or whatever else, you know, tinfoil hat, hey, all I can tell you is go do a little bit of research. Don't believe everything you hear or see or read, and that means don't believe everything the government tells you. Don't believe everything the press tells you. But look for things that are verifiable as fact.
Sure.
And there's a lot of them out there. And Miss Sybil Edmonds is one of them. The lady is no joke. She has reams of documents to back her statements.
Wow.
She's nothing. She's got nothing to gain by lying about it.
Right.
She had everything to gain by lying about it and keeping her mouth shut and not saying anything about what she found and what she knew.
Right.
But how could she? She, you know, she could not unknow or unlearn what she stumbled into working at the FBI. And she, as a naturalized citizen, she had bought the dream, drank the Kool-Aid, and she was certain that, she was toting the flag. And as red, white, and blue, apple pie, hot dogs, Chevrolet, 4th of July American as any person that's ever lived and drawn breath. And she was devastated to find the absolute indifference. And then she was told to keep her mouth shut.
Of course. Can't
so,
have the public edumacated.
Exactly. Mm. So, to think, and people say, well, how could you keep something like that a secret? Well, how many people know that Denny Hassert was getting millions of dollars from a Muslim terrorist organization through Turkey donated to his campaign? How many folks know that? I'd tell you a whole bunch of them up at Capitol Hill do. Never said a word. Did you ever hear about it on NBC, MSNBC, CNN, Fox? No, of course not.
Ron, the people you just named are the biggest useful idiots on the planet. I mean, our media, it's sad. It's really...
Exactly.
They are not doing their jobs either.
You have got to ask yourself, why don't we know? Why doesn't the American people know about this? How come nobody's heard about this or very few people? It ought to be on the lead story. Silence. Total silence.
But they run 724 for 3 weeks, this plane situation. Oh.
Well, you got the plane disappearing. You got, you go back to the first Gulf War. Mikey and I talked about it the other night. Mikey from the Higher Truth Radio. When the first Gulf War was going on and you had these idiots at CNN down here in Atlanta up on the roof with fans and sand and palm trees making out like they were in Iraq,
Yep.
And, we're in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Oh, incoming, and the one guy's running around with a gas mask on, and the other one's trying to put his helmet on. Now, if it's a gas attack, only one of them's going to make it, because only one of them's sporting a gas mask. The other one's dead.
But
it was all theater. It was all theater. They were not.
Where's the Keystone Cop?
And you go back and look at it now, it's still on YouTube. You go and look at it now, and you laugh. But you go back to 1991 when it was going on, everybody was glued to their television and they believed it.
Yep.
Hook, line, and sinker believed it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's theater. It is absolutely theater. And it's nothing but one big, long commercial.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's, boy, what propaganda and indoctrination we get. And they had several.
It's relentless.
But they had several different instances of Common Core this past. Well, there was one particular person was with their child's homework, and they had gone to the farthest extreme you could go to on rewriting the Second Amendment, and they're giving this as homework to these children. Well, apparently, the school was literally forced to take that off the curriculum, and I don't know if they got rid of the teacher or the teacher's not there anymore. I have no idea, but it was horrible that only certain firearms are okay, and you can have one if you've never been to prison, and that the founders said, it was just going on and on and on. It was absolutely insane. It was so egregious and so far from the truth.
It's funny you mention that, as we had a huge discussion on the Outdoors Trader about that very topic. If someone is convicted of a felony and they serve their time in prison, when they get out, should they or should they not have their rights restored? I think they should. And here's the reason why. If they are okay to be released into society, and if the object is to have them rejoin society as productive, decent members of our society, then why should we withhold from them any of their rights? And then, of course, the discussion went into, well, you know, child molesters and rapists and murderers. And I said, well, I'll agree with you, but here's the problem. We shouldn't be letting those people out of jail to begin with.
In the first place.
Do you,
right,
let me ask you something. Now, I'm curious if anybody else knows in the audience and anybody listening. On a federal level, hey, Doc, welcome aboard. At a federal level, what constitutes a felony?
Boy, that's a good one.
What are the guidelines that constitute a felony under federal law? I can tell you it's anything that carries a punishment of $10,000 or more than 12 months in prison.
Okay.
So if you get convicted of something that's 12 months and one day, you're a felon.
Ah, is that how they determine it?
Anything over a year in prison. Now, I can think of a lot of things that have become felonies simply because. This is one of the things that I argued about when I was down at the state capitol lobbying here in Georgia, when they were trying to make it a felony to be present on the property where a cockfight was taking place.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
and
wow.
I said, okay, now, I said, this is just, and, you know, one of the ladies there got really pissy with me because I said, you know, you're going to think I'm crazy. I said, but this is nothing but a backdoor gun grab. This is
sure.
an end around the Second Amendment. And they said, oh, that's ridiculous. I said, ridiculous? I mean, here's this woman. Now, mind you, one of the things that she mentioned as to why we should have laws against cockfighting is that, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer and serial killers, that's how they start, is by killing and mutilating animals. I'm like, oh, my God. Now, and this woman's a Republican, but when I said, well, hang on, you're wanting to make this a damn felony, you know, here I am, the UPS driver. I'm delivering a package. Unbeknownst to me, Joe Bob and Jesus are out behind the barn, and they got 30 people out there in a cockfight. And damn, if the sheriff doesn't raid the place while I'm standing there ringing the doorbell, I'm a felon.
That's crazy. Yeah,
I'm
that is
felon,
crazy.
Because the way they had the law written, there was no defense. If you were present on the property where a cockfight was taking place, you were automatically guilty.
Oh,
there was no way to defend yourself. And I said, this is just asinine, and it is a backdoor end around the Second Amendment. Every damn thing that they want to pass as law these days, if you violate it, it's a felony.
Oh, yeah. It's, I know.
Why
no,
is
they,
that? Well, because a
well, yeah,
felony
because they,
conviction denies you the right to keep and bear arms. So that's just
that's
another right. way, another avenue of trying to attack our Second Amendment rights.
Sure. They've been going after it for a long time. And, of course, they look what they started doing with the making up diseases like ADHD and all this nonsense and giving the kids Ritalin. And now they're the Obamacare garbage, all the stuff that's written into that law that pertains to mental health, and then now this new Surgeon General appointee, I don't think they confirmed him, but this guy's complete anti-Second Amendment. Absolutely.
Oh, my God. We had a guy the other night in the forum, and I had to bite my tongue to keep from posting something, you know, too sarcastic. He started a thread and said his daughter was diagnosed with ODD, and I wanted to say, well, that's strange.
Oh, my God.
I've never heard of ODD. My God. Can we get any more,
I know. It's crazy. And I'm not
disorder.
Sure who's benefiting other than, the
big pharma is
benefiting. And the psychiatrists and the idiot, just the rest, and the people who want to squash our rights, because they're gonna tie this stuff all together. And I'm telling you, the day that any doctor asks me what I have in my home, whether it's a weapon or what, anything like that, I won't even answer. No, maybe. And where's your warrant? I won't even say. I will just get up and leave. I will not ever. I'm not doing it. I'm not playing this game anymore. They're not
Doc
getting this stuff.
Doc said ODD is oppositional defiant disorder. I said, oh my God, I've got it too.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, all right, you guys in the chat room, call in. I'm getting tired.
Oh my goodness.
I'm running out of steam.
You know, we have just, guys, it's crazy land out there.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that awesome?
Day.
You know, there is an entire show, probably a week's worth of shows, a month's worth of shows that we could do on the Doctor of Psychiatric Medicine Manual, the Psychiatric Diseases, mm-hmm. and when it became acceptable as a doctor's diagnosis and when they were allowed to begin prescribing medication
right.
to treat these disorders, these diagnoses.
Right.
I've met some very odd people mm-hmm. in my 49 years of existence, but I have to say that the most bizarre, the most oddly strange, curiously quirky people I've ever met
mm-hmm.
Were psychologists and psychiatrists.
Sure. Shrinks. Yeah.
Of course, social workers. Can't leave those out.
Oh man, they take the cake. I think they're a little tad scarier than people like Pelosi, but they're neck and neck. It's just like, oh my God, scary. I was going to say, yeah, congratulations on the birthday, and you're not old. You're okay. You're still this side of 50.
I understand, and I appreciate the vote of confidence there.
Yeah, you're okay.
I'm 49 going on 112, I think. I don't know.
No, because, my mom and I are up there. Mom's 91, and compared to us, you're a kid. So, she calls me a kid because I am her kid, but it's all relative, and it's just a number. I don't care. As long as I feel good, I'm healthy, and God's got me enough energy to do what I need to do, I'm good.
Absolutely.
I appreciate
you calling in, Miss Linda, and I
thank you.
Hate to exhaust you out before your show. And I've been meaning to sit down and do a new intro for the radio shows here on Patriot Families.
Cool.
So maybe I'll do that one of these days.
Awesome. Yeah, and was there any news on you going to Delaney or no?
I just can't. I'm just.
Oh, okay.
Bill's
going to leave it the way it was. Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to disrupt everybody else's plans as much as I would love to, but there's just no way I'm going to be able to.
I know.
To swing it. So.
All righty.
All right. Well, thanks
for
calling in.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take off and go back. Yes. Thank you. It was great.
Not a problem. I'm going to play us a little clip here called "Signs of Collapse."
We're pushing up towards, the highs again, really on what I would see as, not very good volume. And the fact of the matter is that we're seeing some serious volatility in the market, which I think bodes not particularly well as we move forward.
All right. So you mentioned two things here. You're watching volume. You're watching volatility. What other signals do you have your eyes on, Dan, that will tell you what we could be in for next?
If you look at the Dow for a longer term chart pattern, if you look back over the last year and a half, there has been a chart out there circulating the last couple of months that it looks very similar to the 1929 chart that they saw. So, that's, I think, playing into some traders' minds as well, as you see.
The time period is exactly the same time period.
That is incredible, really, when you look at it. It's chilling.
It really is, because
we joke about it,
we're
but it's
just
chilling.
About to go up.
Uh-huh. as they do. And then it went down. Straight down.
So April 2nd, 14, is really the bottom of the crash.
And if this chart were to hold up, it would drop from over 16,000 where it is now down to somewhere in the 12s, it looks like. That would be significant.
Yeah.
Discussing America's security challenges and a solution for peace between Israelis and Palestinians. Connor Powell live in Jerusalem with the latest. Hi, Connor.
Hi, Arthur. Well, Secretary of State John Kerry spent the last 9 months shuttling between Washington and Jerusalem trying to craft an agreement between the Israelis and Palestinians. And despite the lack of sort of tangible progress so far in crafting that deal, Kerry said today he is optimistic a deal can be reached, at least a framework agreement can be reached by the end of April. Both Israeli and Palestinian publics have overwhelmingly supported a peace agreement according to polls taken in recent weeks and months. What happens in the next couple weeks will really dictate what happens for the long-term peace agreement going forward, Arthel.
Some serious tug of war to come. To your health tonight, the next time you visit Roper St. Francis, instead of sticking out your tongue and saying, ah, you might hold up your hand as a wave of infrared light tells the Roper staff member who you are. It's called palm scanning technology. And Roper St. Francis says it not only gets you to your appointment on time, it protects your identity along the way.
And then right back down.
It may look like something out of science fiction.
Just basically a small scanner that allows us to take a picture of the vein pattern in your hand. Our palm scanners are the new patient identification system that we're using throughout all of Roper St. Francis Healthcare System to make sure we accurately identify the patient each and every time they come in and present for a visit.
And Roper St. Francis says palm scanning is one way to access your unique electronic health record to review your history and document your care each visit.
When it comes to financial transactions, signatures can of course be forged and PIN codes and passwords can be cracked. But I'm about to authorize a credit card payment using one of the most secure methods around.
It's a system called Pulse Wallet. It has an infrared camera in there which scans the vein pattern in my hand. That pattern is as unique as a fingerprint and far more difficult to copy.
The technology, developed by Fujitsu, is already in use in cash machines in Japan and Brazil, and it could soon find its way into shops in the not-too-distant future.
One of the world's giant retailers, the British supermarket chain Tesco, is to kick off facial recognition technology to improve its advertising strategy. But privacy campaigners are already sounding the alarm, as RT's Laura Smith explains.
So say it's Thursday morning, I walk into a shop. In it, all the usual stuff, plus a special camera that scans my face. It recognizes that I'm female and aged between 30 and 45.
If you think that's something out of a futuristic movie, think again. It's what's happening now.
Today, the government takes on the issue of facial recognition technology and your privacy. Tech companies are among the groups coming to Washington to help create the first voluntary guidelines. 60 Minutes correspondent Leslie Stahl began looking into the impact last year.
Facial recognition is already in some of our home appliances, like TVs.
Hi, TV.
In our mobile devices, pins and passwords are giving way to face prints. And the technology can single us out in real time as we go about our daily business, often without us ever knowing.
What's unique about face recognition is the fact that you can do it surreptitiously from a distance and continually.
It can happen, we don't even know.
That's the point.
The future is that everyone will have a camera on them, and this technology already exists for facial recognition technology. What's the scariest thing about this technology?
Basically, there are databases being created right now of your face, matching that to your profile. Part of what the government is going to look into is to try to create some rules and some regulations to say that if you do create a database like this, that you have to actually explicitly be a part of it instead of being included by default. Right now, the government wants to at least put some sort of voluntary rules in place to really make recommendations of what you should do of this data, and hopefully there'll be something a little bit more mandatory coming.
I'm trying to figure out what is the benefit to it. What is the information used for? I still don't get it.
Well, you know, as I said before, it's like we're in a continuous commercial. And we have to always ask, what is it they're trying to sell us? What are you being sold? What we're being sold currently is that the evil boogeyman Vlad the Impaler is trying to take over the world with his invasion of the Crimea. And I suspect that one of the outcomes will be financial turmoil. Remember I told you that we were going to have some sanctions tossed around back and forth, and there were going to be monetary sanctions. And it's going to set a stage, ladies and gentlemen. It's setting the stage to prepare you for what they already know is going to happen. They knew in 2008 when Barack Obama won the election. They knew in 2007 when they were screaming for $700 billion to bail out the banking sector in the United States. They knew years before that that this day would come. And that day is the day of critical mass for the banking system, for the monetary system as it is today, whether it be in the United States or China or Russia or anywhere else in the globe. It's critical mass. They're running out of ways and reasons to print new money. So, how do you solve that? Well, you can let it collapse on its own, which it will. If we just continue and pretend nothing is wrong, it will all fall to pieces. Or you can take proactive steps. Give it a little helping hand here and there. Create the appearance and the mindset of all the viewers who are watching and listening to the commercial that the collapse is imminent, that it's unavoidable, and that the only thing we can do is institute a new plan, which they will already have drawn up. That is what is coming. It won't be long. I don't know how long, but it won't be long before things will escalate a little more. And soon we'll get to the point that everybody is in a tizzy. And when everyone is sufficiently frightened, worried, terrified, when the news tells us that everything is collapsing, the financial system has collapsed, the stock market has crashed, money has disappeared, people are starving in the streets, then and only then will the solution be found by the geniuses that know more about money and banking and marketing and economics than us mere mortals. Then we will have the solution. But not until the crisis reaches sufficient amplitude that it requires immediacy. It will be just like it was in 07, where they were screaming and yelling. The sky will be falling. Only this time it'll be globally around the entire world. And it won't be just the United States Congress that is screaming. It will be every government in the country or in the globe that will be screaming and crying that we must have some solution, that the leaders of the G20 must come together, and that we must have a solution that is equitable for everyone in all nations around the world. And that will be, ladies and gentlemen, the end of your U.S. dollar, the end of the system as you've come to know it. But I suspect, like everything else that comes out of government collectivism, the cure will be far worse than the disease. I like to say that today's problems are yesterday's solutions. And if history is any indicator to us at all, the next solution will be very short-lived. And the disease that comes out of that, the problem that will arise from the next big solution, will be anything but pleasant. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Miss Linda has a show on Wednesday night right here at Patriot Families called Right from the Left Coast at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mr. Bill Strong and his crew has a show here tomorrow night right here at Patriot Families called the Hoot and Holler Show. And on Thursday night right here at 6 p.m. we have Miss Terry Rowland with Patriot Education. And I believe at 9 p.m. we also have Mr. Mikey B. out of Texas doing the Higher Truth Radio. So I would encourage you all to tune in for all the programs. Guys, I appreciate you tuning in tonight. Keep your chin up. I know it's difficult at times when we see all this craziness going on around us. Just have to try and stay positive and see through the smoke and mirrors. See through all the baloney that you're being sold. You got all the snake oil salesmen out there hawking their wares. Don't buy it. Learn to see through the junk and to seek the truth. God bless you guys. Thanks for tuning in. Miss Yola, Mr. Nick, Bill and company, Miss Linda, everybody else, thanks. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow night. Bye-bye.